This is Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Ben Johnson.
James McNew of the band Yola Tenga. James, thank you for talking with me.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we're sitting here at this beautiful sort of art space in Red Hook, Brooklyn, and you're going to perform in a little while. What do you have on stage? What's going up there with you?
Tonight I'm performing as a part of the Little Black Egg Big Band, which is an offshoot of the project Little Black Egg, which is a solo guitar pieces by Georgia Hubley. But tonight Georgia has been gracious and generous enough to flesh out the group, and so there are, good Lord, seven of us on stage, I think, the last time I counted.
What's your setup? What are you bringing up there?
My personal setup is I'm playing a Tysco May Queen guitar through an Earthquaker Grand Orbiter phase shifter pedal.
hold on. Oh, yeah. An Earthquaker Grand Orbiter phase shifter pedal.
Earthquaker is the manufacturer. They make really pretty heady stuff. And it's a very versatile, very powerful phase shifter. And then running that through the smaller, more portable modeler version of the Roland Space Echo, rather than the full unit
with the tape spinning around.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm trying to keep it compact for this stage. There's not that much room up there.
Which one of those two things are the most essential to you? If one of them crapped out tonight, which one would you rather have crap out?
I hope neither of them do. I'm not sure, you know. It's an improvised performance, so I'm not that attached to either of them, really. I guess that's the true spirit of the improviser, which is that you can't really depend on that stuff.
Yet. You work with what you get.
Exactly. You gotta, you know, the answer is always yes. You gotta move forward. And so
do you have a favorite of those two? I mean,
both of these things are both the phase shifter and the Space Echo are two things that I don't use every day. There are things that I have used and I enjoy it, but it's not like they're a part of any particular song that I always play on stage during my regular Yola Tenga job. So I would have to go with the guitar. I'd have to go with the Tysco, the May Queen. It's a kind of crappy, fantastic guitar made by the Tysco company in the 60s, and the body looks kind of melted. It doesn't really make sense. It's almost like a teardrop shape, but they got it really wrong. And it's kind of like a butterfly, but it's really not a butterfly. It's hollow bodied, and the pickups are really cruddy but in this really fantastic sound. It just has a very dead, kind of blunt sound to it. I've never heard another guitar that sounds like it. I mean, you know, good or bad. I haven't played it in quite a while, and I was just playing it at soundcheck and remembering how much I love that guitar. I think it's the absolute perfect size. The neck is the absolute perfect size for a guy with giant hands, and it's great. It's just a real one of a kind.
It's really interesting how you obviously have love for this instrument, even though in some ways, by some measures, it's not well made.
I think so. I mean, in a way, it's a toy. You know, if you put it next to a 1959 Les Paul, it's you know, the difference in craftsmanship is somewhat noticeable. But I think I do like things that don't sound right. I'm more attracted to things like that, or making.
Why?
I don't know. It's more fun. It's more fun to force something to make it sound like you want it to sound, to push it out of its own comfort level, and you know, to make a tape machine into a distortion pedal, just to you know, drive it to its absolute limits and turn it into something else. And I mean, if you play that Les Paul, it's just automatically going to sound great. Like, where's the challenge in that? It's like that thing sounds great no matter what. But like,
and it sort of sounds the same as other Les Pauls, and thus there's some part of it that's sort of intriguing about playing something that's not a standard idea of what is beautiful and amazing, right?
I think there's definitely something to that. Although, I mean, really, I think it's in the player. I think I saw the Shags play about 10 or so years ago.
The Shags are?
The Shags are the legendary band of sisters from the wilds of New Hampshire who put out one record, and Philosophy of the World by the Shags is this masterpiece. It was like music by people who had never heard music before, and I saw them play live as a part of an NRBQ 30th anniversary show, and it was the first time I had ever seen them in person. Like, it was hard to believe that they actually existed in real life, but they did, and now they were kind of like these, you know, sweet old ladies wearing like kind of applique sweatshirts and stuff, and they came out and their guitar player just put on like a Fender Squire, just a regular old guitar that you would get at Guitar Center for $100 or so, and the second she strummed it, it was like, whoa, there it is, like, that's the sound, there it is, that I have no idea how that sound is coming out of what you have and what you're doing, but like, there it is, that's just magic.
And there's a beauty to that when a player can do that.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Ornette Coleman always got crap for playing his like plastic sax and stuff, and it's like, you know, maybe you should worry about yourself. Why don't you let him do what he's doing? And I don't know.
It's about the player.
Well, yeah, definitely. But like, I mean, having kind of esoteric tastes in equipment is fun, and it's a time occupying hobby, but it's also good not to depend on it too much, and it's also good to learn how to fix it.
Can you tell me about another piece of equipment that Yola Tango, you know, the stuff that you play for Yola Tango is really essential to your live setup or your touring setup, something that you sort of can't leave for on the road without?
For the longest time, we've used an organ, like a 60s combo organ made by the Japanese company Ace Tone, which is the company that then became Roland. It was an organ that was pretty popular in New York, actually, in the late 70s among like kind of punk and no wave bands. They all had the Ace Tone, and
why was it popular?
I have no idea. I really don't know. It's cheap. It's like a real workhorse. It's like
sturdy,
fairly sturdy, and
can travel.
As it turns out, it can. I'm not sure how many of them traveled, but ours has traveled a lot. But it's real simple as far as voices and stops and things. There's just not that many options to it. But it's a fantastic sounding instrument. And again, which, you know, I think which is kind of, it's kind of regarded as maybe a toy. I'm sure it was made for Japanese combo, like pop acts, maybe garage bands in the 60s, I don't know, but they really did it right, and it's a fantastic sounding instrument, and there's really kind of no other organ of that, whether it's like a Farfisa or like a Vox, just doesn't really do it. There's an organ from I believe it's from New Zealand, made by a company called Janssen, the Janssen Transonic, which it's pretty close. That's an organ that was featured on a lot of really classic records on the Flying Nun label. I think the same organ, like just the same one, everybody would use it. Like the Clean would use it, and Chris Knox would use it, and different bands.
Yeah, that clean, the clean organ sound is one that.
Yeah, that's an exciting sound to me. But the Ace Tone is something that we traveled with for forever.
Is there a song from the band that?
Well, that's hard to say, because I think Yola Tango is a group that has kind of no finished version, no finished arrangement of any of our songs. Like, I think we can adapt and rearrange anything kind of however we feel like it, and we can do it spontaneously. So, no, but there are definitely signature songs
that use it. Can you give me a title?
Blue Line Swinger is one of them. Sudden Organ, False Alarm, Nowhere Near. There's a lot of them. But recently, it's hard to ship that stuff around the world. I mean, because they are fragile, and you know, they're like almost 50 years old, for crying out loud. And so, like, those little wires that were made to last a couple of years, you know, they're at their limit as far as like soldering connections and things like that. So we found a keyboard made by the Nord company called the Nord Wave, which I think doesn't exist anymore because it was a great idea. Companies just normally just make them obsolete as soon as they make something that's great.
Well, wait, why do you say that?
It seems that like when Digitech made the fantastic PDS 800, like the 8-second delay where you could loop on it, then they just stopped making it. It's like, you made a perfect thing. Like, please keep making it. But they don't.
Do you actually think, like, in a conspiracy way, do you think it's because they want to keep selling stuff? Or wait, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about, but it makes me...
I think it's because we're some of the only people who bought them. And we're big fans, but they didn't make, like, a,
right,
you know, rat... They didn't sell rat numbers. They sold 8-second delay numbers. But yeah, I mean, the conspiracy is I like to think that, but I know that's not right.
Right. It's really just it's a smaller consumer base, and thus the company is meh.
Yeah, but the Nord Wave was a real solution. I think I was able to. It has like kind of a file managing system where I was able to go into Pro Tools and sample every key from the Ace Tone in different sounds and different setups, and then load them all in individual programs, and the Farfisos as well, and just whatever we had, and load them all into this, you know, into this one kind of file package. And then if we could find one, we can rent it, and we show up with a computer, load our sounds in, and we're good to go. So that kind of revolutionized like portability, I think, for us. Although, I mean, the onstage, like the computer hooked up to the keyboard, I think is just a bad look. I think that's a terrible look. And
what do you mean?
It just looks bad. It sends a bad message to me. If it's just a guy and a computer, I'm cool with that. But the computer and the keyboard, I think, is like I don't know. It makes me turn around, and yeah. I can't watch it.
Is there a song, not necessarily by any of the groups that you play in, that there's a sound in it that you're like, I gotta figure out where that comes from?
There's lots of stuff like that. There's sounds on the first couple of albums by the band Chrome that I'm sure didn't come from Earth, that I just don't think nobody's made them since then, and nobody made them before then. I do not know how they made instruments sound like that. I've always been obsessed with that. Half Machine Lip Moves is one of their records, and Alien Soundtracks. Those two together is just like, what? Where did this come from? Like, it really is. It's like, this could be evidence of, you know, extraterrestrial and music making on Earth. There's always stuff like that that I kind of don't want to know. I mean, sometimes I'm interested in, like, you know, finding out that, like, you know, the Sun Ra would play this keyboard called the Roxachord, and I had never heard of the Roxachord before, but then I started to recognize the sound, and there's records that Oren Barchi, that you're hearing right now, there's records that he makes that I have no idea what's going on, so I'm really excited to see what he does tonight. Similarly, the Japanese artist Merzbow, I've seen him, and I don't think I've ever witnessed anything as physical as like the, you know, kind of one man noise performance that he puts on, and also Keiji Hino, who also played with Oren. It's otherworldly to kind of see like regular instruments just pushed way beyond their limits, and just something else comes out. It's all of a sudden, it's like under extreme duress. It's remarkable what regular instruments sound like.
Do you believe in aliens because of music?
I don't really have any reason not to believe in them. Sure. Who am I to say?
Fair enough. James McNew, Yola Tango. James, thank you very much.
It was a pleasure. Thanks.